This week I'm going to be in the Old Testament, the book of Proverbs, the 29th chapter of Proverbs, the 18th verse. And the title this morning is simply, Can We See It? Can We See It? Proverbs 29, verse 18, reads like this. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law. One verse, I'll read it one more time. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law. Pray with me, won't you? Father God, Lord, as we come before you, we thank you, Lord, as always, for this place. We thank you, Lord, for those that have come to this place this morning. But we thank you most of all, Lord, that you've made a way that each one of us could come to you. Each one of us could be reunited with you throughout eternity. Each one of us could see heaven's glory. There's not one of us here this morning, Lord, that has to miss it. You've done everything that needed to be done for each one of us to be yours. I pray, Lord, if more than anything else this morning, that that's the message that goes forth, that each and every one of us can be yours, that you love each one of us, that you died for each one of us, that you made a way for each one of us. Let that be your message this morning, Lord, carried forth in your power, that each one of us might see it clearly. And Father, we give you the praise, we give you the glory for it, for it's in your name we ask. Amen. A few weeks ago, I asked, what is faith? And I used Hebrews 11:1 as a main text. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And last week I asked, does our faith have hands and feet? And used James 2nd chapter verses 8 through 18 as a main text, which James sums up quite well in verse 18 when he said, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Then, by his grace and through the power of his Spirit, God gave us three verses of Scripture to help us understand that faith and works are designed to and should go hand in hand. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That's Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. So we've talked about faith. We've talked about faith being the substance and the evidence of things hoped for and not seen, and how that substance, evidence, and hope manifest itself in and through our faithful actions in Christ. Which begs this week's question, or this week's title, Can We See It? Can we see it? Because knowing what it is and even knowing how it works doesn't mean very much if we don't use it. If we don't know how to use it, does it? Doesn't mean very much at all. Is everyone familiar with today's main text? Has everyone at least heard it before? Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. The King James Version is probably the one we've heard most often and are probably most familiar with. King James Version reads, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. But mostly, and especially in a secular format, we don't hear this verse in its entirety in any version, do we? Most of the time, we hear just the beginning of it. At least that's the way it was a few years ago. And I can imagine it's still that way or it's still going on today, but I no longer hang out with those people, so I don't know for sure. But a lot of the training seminars and a lot of the speakers that taught at those seminars sometimes, and I'll insert a note of sarcasm here, Even insightfully interesting, wise, and wonderful bosses would often use catchphrases in their seminars. Catchphrases such as, start right, end right. Say what you do, do what you say. Sometimes even the shortened version of this verse would find its way into those training seminars. They'd say, where there's no vision, the people perish. All in an effort to motivate people to realize that progress requires insight, it requires discipline, and it requires direction. Is there anything wrong with any of that? I guess not. But in my particular case, with my particular insightfully interesting, wise, and wonderful boss, maybe he would have been better off to have said, practice what you preach. Or maybe he could have said, do what I say, not what I do. It might have been more appropriate. But that's all water under the bridge now, and as you can see, I've gotten over it very nicely. Hardly bothers me at all anymore. Yes. Probably a good time to remind myself, therefore, let him who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. No temptation is overtaking you except such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you might be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians 10, 12 and 13. Or maybe even, as Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God, in Luke 9, 62. Or maybe even, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Or, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15. I am so happy to be where I am today. Just a short time ago, the gentleman that was very much my mentor back then and protected me from many people, he sent me a message on Facebook. And I guess the kids call it stalking. I say we put the stuff out there in public, and if they want to look at it, they can. Apparently, he was looking at some of my pictures, and he made some comment about, Bob, it's so good to see you happy. And I never thought much about it until he said that. But back then, when we were in the environment we were in, I probably wasn't happy very often. And I thanked him for that, and I thanked him for his mentorship, and I thanked him for all that he had done for me. And I told him that I was indeed happy. So, every once in a while, I have to read verses like that to remind me that I don't have to worry about yesterday anymore. Finally, one more verse, because it ties us back into today's sermon. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That is 2 Timothy 2:15. We all need to adhere to that scripture, don't we? Did you know that most Bible scholars are against using Proverbs 29:18 as a motivational or a vision-casting tool? In fact, some believe that this particular verse may be one of the most misused in the entire Bible. But their issue isn't so much in having or are having a vision or a revelation, but their issue is in who is casting the vision or bringing about the revelation. You can use it in a training seminar, and it has nothing to do with God's Word, does it? And I think that's what their issue is about. Hence the importance of being diligent to present ourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that for certain requires us to first read the whole verse, at least the whole verse, and then to understand the verse in the context in which it was written. And sometimes it even also entails us to read part of, or sometimes the whole chapter that verse is in. Sometimes it even entails reading the whole book in which we find the verse. And if we have a reference Bible, which I highly recommend that you have, and even a study Bible, You can also gain insight by reading the referenced verses in other books. You can also sometimes gain insight by owning, reading other versions of God's Word. It's okay to have more than one. But I highly recommend you have at least one. But I would caution to be careful about reading the ones that are paraphrased. We have to be careful with those. Along that same thought, that same note, here are three of the most popular versions, I believe. The King James, Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. The New King James, the one I was given when I came to Christ and learned God's word in, says, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law. And the NIV, are you guys okay? Where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. But blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction. Probably the three most popular versions. Here's something, it may not mean anything, but I believe it's interesting, and I won't charge you for it. The King James Version has a colon in the middle, but the New King James Version and the NIV have semicolons. How's that for rightly dividing the word of truth? I don't want you to get the wrong impression. English was never my strong point. But if I had had Encarta when I was in high school, I would have gotten an A for sure. Encarta defines a colon as a punctuation mark used to divide distinct but related sentence components, such as clauses in which the second elaborates on the first, or to introduce a list, quotation, or speech. Encarta defines a semicolon as a punctuation mark used to separate parts of a sentence or list and indicate a pause longer than a comma, but shorter than a period. Now, I'm sure Sam is, because Sam is very good in English. Before you start thinking, gosh, Bob, you needed Encarta to find that out or to figure that out? I would imagine that most people today, especially people under 20, don't even know what they're called anymore. They took our pound sign and made a hash mark out of it, didn't they? I would imagine that most people, the only time they ever use a colon or a semicolon is when they're doing a text message to make a smiley face. Or a smiley face that winks at you. LOL. But don't you think that both definitions of a colon and semicolon, don't you think that it said both tools, colon and semicolon, do similar, not the same, but similar tasks? It's funny you should think that. Because sticking with our theme of both, colon, studying to show ourselves approved and seeing the reality of our faith in action, that's kind of what the book of Proverbs is all about. You see, the book of Proverbs is written in Hebrew poetry. And Hebrew poets were famous for their use of parallelism, which is simply stating something or the same thing two different ways so as to drive home the point of the statement. You want a lame attempt at humor? An example in today's terms? Here you go. Where there's no time behind the bars, Pastor Bob starts to get grumpy. But happy is he when he gets his Milwaukee therapy. Before we start to form a pulpit committee, that's in my reference to my appreciation of Harley Davidson's fine machine. And in my defense, I already warned you it would be lame. But you can see how both statements tie together and say the same thing from two different perspectives. One a positive perspective and one a negative perspective. That's called antithetical parallelism. And the antithetical proverb almost always contains the word but. Because, and I promise this will be our last English lesson today, But is a conjunction. Remember, conjunction, that little song we used to sing when the kids were little? Conjunction function. It's used to introduce a dependent clause, e.g. a reason for doing or not doing something. I told you, if I'd had Encarta in high school, I would have made an A in English. So let's look at Proverbs 29:18 again, knowing what we know now. Where there is no revelation or vision, the people cast off restraint or perish. Let's stop there for just a second. Not because that's all we're going to look at and or use, but an effort to understand what this first perspective of this proverb is saying to us. The world that we live in, even our part of that world, Southeast Missouri, it's fast becoming a scary place, isn't it? It seems like, even in the short 8 years that we've been here, it's gotten scarier. It seems like you can't turn on the TV and watch the news anymore, but what, somebody got killed, somebody got shot, or some child disappeared, or some child was raped, or some child was left in a car. You can't turn on the news, you can't pick up a paper without seeing that. That really is the reality of where we live now, isn't it? And it used to be this part of the country that was a rarity. But it's getting to be every night. Every night when you turn on the news, you hear about it again. Can you imagine how scary Southeast Missouri would be without any law at all? I had a pastor. He was a friend. He's still a friend. Or at least I consider him to be a friend. I hope he considers me to be a friend. He was a missionary in Africa. That's a little farther south than Chaffee. And he was there one time, and they lived like in a compound, as I best remember how he described it. And he said that there was a coup. They overthrew the government. And he said it was the wildest thing he'd ever experienced. He said, we so take for granted our government, our laws, the structure that we have around us. He said, because during this coup, there was no law. No law at all, except for the strongest survives. It's what law tends to do, isn't it? It protects people that are innocent. It protects people that are weak. It protects older people, it protects younger people. And without the law, he said he'll never forget it the rest of his life, how it impressed upon him how important law is to civilization. He said, because when it wasn't there, it was every man for himself. And do whatever you could do to protect yourself. That's how scary and dark Southeast Missouri would be if it didn't have law. Deb says, I have too many of them, but I don't believe you can. But I would utilize the ones that I have, the weapons that I have, to protect those in my family that were mine. And I would probably hook up with Travis, and we would try to do our best. But the truth is, without our government, without our law, no matter how we feel about them or don't feel about them, without them, it would be just up to us to protect ourselves, wouldn't it? That's a fact. That's how it would be. What if God's law? What if His word? What if God's light? What if His influence was removed from our world? We take it for granted, don't we? Just like we do the laws of our society, the laws of our land. We take them for granted. What if they were removed? Without the hope, the vision, without the revelation and influence of God's word, would there be any restraint? Would there be anything holding anybody back? Would God's people perish? Church, brothers and sisters in Christ, can we see that we are the vessels? Vessels with hands and feet that through faith God has appointed to proclaim His truth and reflect His light. That's why we're here. That's our purpose. It's all accomplished through faith. And without faith, it can't be accomplished. We are that vessel, you and I. And we're to be working vessels. Vessels with hands and feet and action that move, that work. And we're to be faithful vessels. We are called to proclaim His truth, reflect His light. And if we don't, people will perish. Just as absolutely as they would if we took away all of our society's laws, where only the strong survived. Let's see what we can glean from the second perspective of this proverb. But happy, there's that but, happy, blessed is he who keeps or keepeth or heeds the law or heeds wisdom's instruction. I know I shared this either last week or the week before, I'm not sure, but I'm certain I agree with Steve Brown's assessment when he said, setting grace aside, which both of us highly recommend you don't do, and living your life simply adhering to the principles of God's Word would greatly improve the quality of your life. I believe that. I'll even try to go and do Mr. Brown one better, in my own words. Living life adhering to just the Ten Commandments, if you would just live your life adhering to the Ten Commandments, just that part of God's Word, you would have a near perfect life. Because that is as God has designed it. That is as God has designed us to live. And it would be as near perfect as it could be on this planet. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. None of us, in the first place, can afford to set grace aside. Not one of us. Because none of us can adhere to God's law. So what do we do with, but happy is he who keeps the law? You know how many times I've struggled desperately trying to keep God's law? Probably an easier way to ask that question would be, do you know how many times I've fallen short? Every time. Every time. I cannot find the power in and of myself to adhere to His law. But that's exactly why the truth of this proverb rings so loud and so clear. Because I can't do it. Where there is no revelation, no vision, no truth from God, the people cast off restraint and perish. But happy or blessed is he who keeps the law, or heeds wisdom's instruction. Come on, Pastor Bob, that's about as clear as mud. You said we can't keep the law. We can't. Let's see if we can clarify. Like I said earlier, the Bible says we're all sinners, right? Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we get the whole no vision, no revelation, we cast off restraint and perish thing, right? We get that part of it. That's pretty plain to us. What we need to get, what we need to see is the whole happy is he who keeps the law thing, right? That's the part we need to understand, right? That's the part we need to grasp and get a hold of. Remember what parallelism was? stating something or the same thing two different ways so as to drive home the point of the statement. And remember, antithetical parallelism, thank you, Encarta, is a positive and a negative perspective. So let's look at this proverb the way the Hebrew writers intended us to. Not saying two different things, but saying the same thing two different ways. Because that's what they did. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. That's the negative perspective. But happy is he who keeps the law. That is the positive perspective. As I said earlier, the issue Bible scholars have with seminar trainers and stuff like people like that using half of this verse isn't so much in having or not having a vision or a revelation. The issue is in who or whom is casting the vision or supplying a revelation. If where there is no vision, the people perish, is the negative side of, but happy is he who keeps the law, then we simply need to find and to follow someone who keeps the law. Right? Make sense? Can we see it? Can we see what the proverb is saying? There's only one who has kept God's law. We know who it is, right? Matthew 5, 17, 18. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. He's given us a very clear vision, revelation, very clear direction. Mark 8:34. When he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. His word also proclaims, happy is he who follows. Romans 8:1-5. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. If we're following Christ, we're walking according to the Spirit. If you're walking that way which seems right to you, if you're leaning on your own understanding, you're walking that way which seems right to the flesh. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. The law was never meant to be a restraint. You understand that? Can you see that? The law was never meant to be a restraint. Because God, who is God, knew we could never live by it anyway. Jesus wasn't plan B. Jesus was plan A all the time. That tree didn't have to be in the garden. It didn't grow wild. It was always God's plan that Christ was going to come and fulfill his law. The law was never meant to be a restraint. The law was the revelation. The law, and he's mine. That's my grandson. The law was the revelation. The law reveals our sin. Would we know we were sinners if we didn't have the law? Would we know we needed a Savior if we didn't know we were sinners. The law was not a restraint. The law was the revelation. The law reveals our sin. The law gives us vision. The law allows us to see our need for our Savior. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law. There's only one way that we can keep the law. And that is through Jesus Christ. By his grace. Following him. Jesus is our Savior. He alone fulfilled the righteous requirement of God's law. A life without Jesus has no direction. A life without Jesus has no restraint. A life without Jesus has no hope. A life without Jesus will perish. The question this morning to all of us is, can we see it? Can we see that the only hope that the world has is Jesus Christ? Can we see that the only hope that we, the church, have is Jesus Christ? Without him, we're hopeless. But happy is he who keeps the law. Happy is he who comes to Christ. Happy is he who follows Jesus. Am I promising you a rose garden? No. No. That's that way that seems right to a man. That's leaning on our own understanding. But I can promise you this. You'll never regret. Never regret giving anything or everything to Jesus Christ. Never. We're going to have a song of invitation. God's Spirit has spoke to you this morning. If you have any need at all, you want to come forward to pray together, Christ will meet us there. Would you all stand, please?